Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Everyone everywhere, it's Pastor Robert Thibodeau. I want to welcome you to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. We're so blessed that you're joining us today as we're going back into part four of a fabulous four-part interview with Julie Carrick. She is one of the most interesting and effective speakers and musicians in the Catholic Church today. She brings a passionate message of faith, hope, and love woven together through her music and personal witness about just living the faith. Amen. She's a veteran singer and composer. She's been featured in countless local, national, and international events. And if you missed any of the prior three episodes, well, you just have to go back and catch up. Praise God. In the first two episodes, we talked all about her background and her ministry and her music. In the last episode, episode three, we were starting a deep dive into her first book, which has just been released, titled Unfailing Grace. Amen. This is a great book, and if you missed the first part of the discussion with Julie about her book, be sure you listen to the prior episode to catch up. Today, we'll be concluding this great interview with Julie as we continue to discuss her book, Unfailing Grace. Now, let's jump back into the interview with Julie Carrick as I start to ask her about some miracles that she's experienced in her life. Amen. You also had a miracle with your second child, right? Tell us about that.
Oh, my Heidi. So when we were living in Germany, before I even knew that I was pregnant, I was having this horrific pain in my abdomen. And I went into the emergency room and they did an ultrasound and saw that there was this huge mass growing in the fallopian tube. And they had, of course, done a pregnancy test. And the doctor was telling me that I needed to have surgery to remove that tube because of the ectopic pregnancy. Now, I'm extremely pro-life. And I was really grappling with my feelings. I'm like, I can't let them do this surgery. I know in my head that I was not choosing abortion. I know that. But it still felt wrong to me. Like, I can't just let them do the surgery. I felt like it would be better if I could just let the tube burst and then if they could sew me up in time, you know, but you can hemorrhage out from something like that within seconds. And my husband, I left the hospital. I actually left and I went to get him and I was like, I can't do this by myself. I need you with me. And as he talked the sense back into me to go back to the hospital. And as we came through the doors, Father Clancy was walking out. Our pastor was walking out, a beautiful chaplain for the army. And as he was walking down the steps of the hospital, he saw us coming in and the anxiety. And he said, what's wrong? And I said, I'm having an ectopic pregnancy and I don't know what to do. And he said, well, you need a miracle. And he laid hands on me and he prayed. And I was very young still in my adult faith at that time. And I literally was thinking, okay, let him pray long enough that this tube will burst on its own and I don't have to make this decision. And as he prayed, the pain stopped. And I said, okay, Father, I think I need to get in there. And I went in and the doctor kind of yelled at me for leaving. And then he says, we need to do surgery. And he said, before we go in to do the surgery, I just need to do the full ultrasound, not just the right side, but the full ultrasound of the entire uterus and fallopian tube. And so as he starts to do that scan, he went back and forth and back and forth, scratching his head. And he said, well, whatever it was is not here anymore. And then when they did the ultrasound that included the uterus, he said, well, here it is. Now, an ectopic pregnancy does not move by itself from the fallopian tube to the uterus. Amen. But our sweet Heidi was born 8 months later.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Yep. You know, our family also had a similar, similar miracle. Our second grandchild, my granddaughter, my daughter, had her ultrasound, and she had the videotape, you know, where they could record the video of the baby and all that. And it showed a deformed head and no blood supply to the brain. They got some special medical terminology for it. And her head was shaped like a football.
Right.
And they sent her home and said they were going to make her an appointment with a specialist who could give her some options.
Right.
And knew what those options were.
Right.
And she came home upset, of course, and asked me to pray for the baby. And The scripture we stood on was John 10:10. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I, Jesus, come to give you life, that more abundantly. And we prayed, and literally, as soon as we said amen, the phone rang. And it was the doctor's office, and they'd made an appointment. This is on a Friday afternoon, like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They made an appointment for her at 8 a.m. on Monday. And her husband couldn't take off work like that without notice. So she wanted me to go with her to the doctor's. And I said, okay, no problem. And Monday we went in and they hooked her up to this ultrasound machine again. They popped the, she wanted the tape of this so she could show her husband. And the tape was recording. And I could tell it looked like a completely different image than what we had seen. And the doctor did some interview. And like you said, he's scratching his head and he's checking these things and he's flipping the pages. And he looked up and he said, why are you here? And he said, this is a perfectly normal little girl. And like I said, the tape, when you look at it, it looks like two completely different images, you know. And later she wanted, now remember, this is when Friends was on television. Mm-hmm. And she said, she just came and said, I think God wants me to name her Zoe. Like, Zoe, I'm thinking that ditzy woman on Friends, right? Zoe, why would you ever, John 10:10, you know, where it said Jesus came that you may have life, the Greek word and the concordance for that exact word life is Zoe. So Jesus came that we could have Zoe.
And
she knows that story. She's 21 years old now, works at a prenatal unit, right?
Yeah.
And in a hospital. And she knows, I mean, Papa reminds her about this story several times a year.
Oh, marvelous.
So she knows the story. She knows she's a miracle baby. She's had some health issues. We prayed and, you know, she's healed from them. And, you know, but she knows God has a plan for her life. That's the emphasis I put on. God has a plan for your life.
Absolutely.
And, but
absolutely.
I could relate. I related so much to that story in your book. Mm. That you just shared. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
You encourage your readers to understand that God is with us even in the midst of our most difficult times. And I couldn't agree more. How can someone going through a very dark time themselves find the faith to have faith when they can't see anything but despair?
That's a great way to ask that, to have faith even when you don't have faith. From the experiences, and that's why I was obedient in writing the book, because so many times, whether it's the emotional healings we need, relationship healings that we need, physical healings that we need, financial healings that we need, it doesn't matter what it is. That word in communion, that Christ came to be in communion with us, we look at his life and we realize He doesn't take us away from our sorrow and our suffering. He journeys with us. He is in communion with us. He didn't, you know, he didn't leave us alone. He has given us 2,000 years later, he continues to give us grace, you know, in our baptism. When we are baptized and we are born again and we claim Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that we are united with him in his life. Well, we have to be united with him in his suffering. Yeah. It's, you know, you can't claim the name Christian and think that you're going to journey with no pain and suffering, because if we're going to follow him who suffered to the point of death, he who was without sin took on our sin, he who is perfection took on our imperfections in order to make us perfect. Mm-hmm. That's where I stand. That is the authority that I stand on. Yeah. It's not that we are called to lives of perfection. But he meets us in our imperfection. He meets us in the brokenness so that we're not journeying alone. He never said he was going to take away our suffering. In fact, he guaranteed us that we would suffer. And so when we are given that gift of suffering, we take it to the cross and we stand beneath the cross and we say, cover me in the blood and it's okay. I mean, that's the only way that I can share it in a way that, and it doesn't make sense. It's just a way to share it.
Amen. You used the phrase, I can't remember if it was in this episode or the prior one, that the devil would not tempt you if you were not a worthy prize. And he doesn't fight those that are not a threat to him. And I believe that for my entire Christian walk. I've gone through some things in life as well. You shared in your book how you were offered $250,000 for various cosmetic things, but only if you would deny your faith. What was that all about?
That was insanity is what that was about. That was that was the devil romping around in Nashville. It was shocking to me how the evil one will take something like the Catholic faith, another Christian faith, and say, let's find all the ways that we can divide these people, right? Instead of saying, how do we come together and unite in the fact that we are all Christians in love with Jesus Christ, wanting to share our life with him? And I believe that that day in Nashville, when I sat at that table with the directors for the label, and they were offering me this contract, and it was a big deal. It was a 3-record deal. Normally the way it works in the music industry, and it doesn't matter if you're a Christian artist, a secular artist, it doesn't matter. You do your first record, and if it sells well and they make money on you, they'll offer you another record. The fact that they were offering me a 3-record deal is they were planning on making money off of me. They were. I mean, it's business, right? But what was the most bizarre thing was they could not wrap their heads around the fact that a Catholic woman was somehow also Christian. Somehow if I was Catholic, I couldn't be Christian, right? It was the craziest thing ever. And I couldn't help them see it. I mean, I couldn't help them pass that, to the point that I even said, even if this was about the business, which is apparently is what it is, or it wouldn't be a 3-record deal, you're not even smart in how you're approaching it. You know, I mean, it was just crazy. And so when when the addendum that was added said blonde hair, and this is my natural color, I am proudly saying at 56 years old, God's doing a good job on my hair. he still has this color for me since I was a baby. And apparently I was supposed to be blonde. The other thing was breast augmentation. And I was like, what does that have to do with being a Christian artist? That was insanity to me until I got to the third part of it, which was that gag order that said, while I was under contract, I was not allowed to tell anyone that I was Catholic. And I realize now the first two were probably going to be those points that they would move on to say, okay, fine, keep your hair color and you don't have to surgically alter yourself, but we're not giving on this third one. And I said, if what I have to do is alter my appearance and denounce my faith to be good enough for you, I decline. And that was when they slid the check across the table, calling my church, right, this beautiful faith founded on Jesus Christ, the whore of Babylon is what they called the Catholic Church. And I said, if I took the check you're offering me, that's exactly what I would be, because I'd be doing this for money, not to the honor and glory of God. And if God wants me to be in places around the world, he's going to put me there.
Yeah.
And I felt very affirmed when I walked out of there, you know, knowing that God would have his, you know, he would use the gifts he's given me the way he wanted them used. And so praise God, you know, 20 some years later, he's still allowing these gifts to be used. And this time through a book a little bit differently. So.
Yep. Amen. Amen. You know, you definitely have a calling for music that we talked about in the prior interview, unlike mm-hmm. me, because everyone who knows me is like, don't sing, Papa.
Although I say every voice that God has put on this planet is to give him praise and honor. So you sing your little heart out.
My family probably disagree with that. Like, you're driving people away from the faith, Papa. but something that many people may not know is I read that you also sing in tongues. Is that right?
I do. In fact, that was one of the most beautiful things in my childhood. And I still go back to that these 50 some years later. I remember as a young girl, I would take off on my horse, loved horseback riding. In fact, that's been a gift this year that's come back around in my life. But I would take off on my horse and I'd be riding and I would hear these melodies and these words and I didn't know what it was. There are different, you know, different gifts, but the same spirit, right? All of that we learned, but I was almost embarrassed because I didn't know what it was. And I felt almost awkward. And so it wasn't until I was at a retreat years later with one of our bishops in Michigan. And I asked him, what does this mean? And he said, oh, it's called the gift of tongues. You're singing in tongues and it's the language of the Lord. And Then I embraced it. And to this day, whenever I receive the Eucharist, when I'm at Mass and just before, when the priest is doing the elevation and he holds up the sacred host and he holds up the chalice, those same tongues just erupt. I mean, it's, I'm aware of those around me who may not be as comfortable in hearing tongues, but to me, it's just such a source of true praise that in his own language, I get to praise him in that moment. And I love that. It's just a fabulous gift. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the one time when it does make perfect sense. I guess you could say. But I'm right there with you on that. And you became a military wife, and I joined the military right out of high school. I was married at the ripe old age of 19.
Yay!
Although, you know, I've enjoyed the varied assignments. I enjoyed the military life. Looking back, I know it was hard on my family. We moved a total of 13 times in 12 years.
Yeah.
How did you view all of the moves and the travel as the spouse in the military?
Well, we moved a lot, as you say. It was a lot in those early years of our marriage, but I felt like very much then as I do now, God puts us where we are supposed to be. And my husband and I are both faithful Christians. We are, you know, we both feel like in support of our marriage and in support of our family, we are to be where God calls us. And whether you are serving the Lord as a active duty military, if you are serving him as a minister, if you are serving him as a, you know, a disciple, you know, that's called to a form of itinerant ministry. I just feel like we're supposed to be where we are. And our kids got very used to travel, which was a good thing because we did a lot of it. The funniest thing I recall with our daughter, Adel, we were coming here to the United States for a visit. And my husband, when we lived in Germany, drove a BMW, which is pretty common over there. But when we got in the car, she would say, "Welcome aboard BMW flight 320. Because she could mimic the flight attendants, you know, because she would welcome us on board in the car. It was pretty funny. But it was good. It was a good thing because I felt like wherever we were put, God had us there for a reason. So, and then my husband followed suit when he joined the ministry. And then we really traveled a lot. So,
amen, yeah. Amen. So the Army was prepping you for ministry.
Amen. Yeah, right. It really did. Yeah, amen. Perfect.
Well,
yeah.
Because of the military and where you were stationed at, you know, I read one time you went on vacation and you unexpectedly found yourself in a mass that the Pope was going to be attending. Tell us about that.
That was very cool. So we were in Italy, and it was the end of a worldwide retreat for priests. And we were in Rome just on pilgrimage. We were just kind of for a vacation. And as we were crossing St. Peter's Square, walking up toward this huge basilica, all of a sudden someone started calling out, you know, Papa, Papa, the Italian for Father, and the Pope. And all of a sudden this crowd just like pushed in, and we were literally physically pushed into the church. The doors closed behind us, and it's like packed. I mean, priests from all over the world, every language under the planet, are in this beautiful church. And of course the main celebrant for that mass was Pope John Paul II. This was back in 1984. And one of the guest visitors who was there was Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Mm. I felt like I had died and gone to heaven. I mean, surrounded by these beautiful people who just spend their life serving, was such an amazing gift. And the whole place erupted in these beautiful song of tongues. And it was a magnificent gathering. It was magnificent. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Most people go their whole life without that opportunity.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Tell us about the Catholic priest that prayed silently outside your door. I mean, can you explain what that part of your book for us?
Yes. So, again, as a Catholic, one of the things that we have such a privilege of is in the Adoration Chapel. So when you go to Adoration, you are literally in a small chapel where Christ is present in the form of the Eucharist on the altar. And so every time that I would go there, I knew that I was supposed to be in conversation with God, right? And so I would have my Bible so I could read his word. I would maybe pray a rosary and those beautiful meditations on the life of Christ. I might be reading a book about one of the saints. And so Father JT one day gave me this teachable moment outside my front door. He came for dinner. And as I opened the door, he stood outside the door and he said, I said, "Welcome, Father." And he goes, do you happen to have a rosary that I could borrow?" And I said, "Sure." And so I went in and got the rosary beads and I handed them to him. And he says, the first joyful mystery, the Annunciation. And then he just started silently praying. And it was, quite a few minutes had gone by and I'm just kind of standing there waiting. And then he kind of, and he walks in, he comes in as far as the foyer. And I said, "Can I take your jacket?" And he said, "Well, before that, can I borrow a Bible?" And I thought, okay, the Catholic priest wants to make sure we have a Bible, right? So I get the Bible and I hand it to him and he opens it up, and he kind of does one of these numbers, he stands there and he reads, a good number of minutes just reading scripture. And then he closes it and he hands it back to me. And I said, "Okay, I'm at a loss. I don't know what to do next." And he said, "Was that awkward?" And I said, "That was very awkward, yes." And he said, "Well, now you know how you make Jesus feel." Mm. And mm. I was like, so from then on, when I would go to Eucharistic adoration, instead of taking anything with me, I would take a blank notebook and a pen, and I would just lay prostrate in front of the Lord first for about 15, 20 minutes, however long. Then I would sit in the chair and I would just listen. And as I would listen, I would hear the lyric and I would write them down. I would hear the melodies and I'd write it down. And that is how the songwriting went to the next level. Wow. It was no longer me writing. It was, I became a secretary for Jesus. I just, literally wrote down what he told me.
Amen. Amen. That is awesome. Yeah. I mean, there are so many interesting stories that you share in your book, Unfailing Grace. We've just highlighted some of them, folks. But there's another aspect of your book that many do not find very often in books. You use QR codes throughout the book. And tell us about these QR codes that the reader will come across. What are they for?
I love these. And this was my husband's idea. And
great when Kurt idea.
It is. And when he comes up with an idea, I've learned over the years to just do it. And so even though the book is not about the life of a recording artist, the songs that were written about all of these different stories of my life, we have just beautifully included. I'll show you an image of this. So like this one is the song Whispers. And so when you get to this point where I've learned to quiet and listen, the song Whispers that came out of that. So you just scan that with your phone and it takes you to the music lyric video so that you can hear the song as you continue to read the book. Mm. And it's filled with those throughout. And one of my favorite parts of this is there's also a QR code in here that tells the story of our daughter, which she was actually followed by Fox Television when she was partway through that very unexpected pregnancy. Wow. And they did this phenomenal story and that is still available. So that's my incredibly beautiful daughter. Amen. And our sweet Zachary, who's now 6'5". And so when you scan that, it takes you to a wonderful video clip of her life story and her own witness. And so it's very interactive with all of these beautiful QR codes. So thank you for bringing that up. That's awesome.
Amen. Yeah. That's on, I suppose it's done else, but that's really the first time I've heard of it in a book like this. And I was like, wow, what a concept. How can I use that?
So, right. Exactly. That's what we encourage as we come up with an idea and we encourage that for everyone. Just, it's a first. It is a first. So yeah.
Amen. Yeah. How difficult was it to publish the book with the QR code in there? Because sometimes the typesetting isn't right and, things like that. How difficult was that to get that where they would work?
I give total credit to that to Paper Raven Books. Paper Raven Books was a phenomenal company to work with. And when I chose them instead of a traditional publisher, the reason that I love Paper Raven is that they not only helped me with the final editing process of the book, the typeset so that everything would be very clean and clear and everything. You also, as an author with Paper Raven, you own 100% of the book. I mean, it is your book. Mm. And I love the fact that because the QR codes go to my music, you don't give up anything to a publisher by including something in a book, whereas a publisher would own part of that intellectual property. So being that Paper Raven literally helps you write. They did a beautiful job helping with the cover design, with the back cover design. I mean, they just are phenomenal. And wow. So the QR codes on the inside, they made sure when everything was set for the print that it all is just perfect. So amen. Yeah, a number of ways that they were very helpful in that because yeah, anything in a book goes to the publisher. And so when you own the whole thing, that makes a huge difference. So
yeah, amen. Well, Julie, yeah. Believe it or not, Once again, we're almost out of time. Praise God. You know, I keep saying I have to get this clock fixed because it always seems like it runs fast when I'm doing a really great interview. But if someone wanted to get in touch with you to ask a question, maybe have you come speak at a conference or they're in their church, how can they do that? How can they get in touch with you?
The most simple way is juliecarrick.com. And the telephone number is there. I have a wonderful woman by the name of Shelley Stewart, who is my events coordinator and facilitator. So she knows my calendar inside out. She knows it better than I do. She's amazing. And I love to hear from people. And at my website, you can send me an email and I personally respond to those. I don't have someone else do my email. I love to anyone that I hear from, I personally will get back with you and answer questions and take time to pray. I love doing that. So you will be part of my daily prayer if you send me a prayer request. So,
Amen. And to get a copy of the book, they go through the website, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. The website for the physical copy. And then if you are an ebook reader, Amazon has Unfailing Grace. They have both at Amazon, but for authors, for every dollar that you spend on Amazon, you're lucky if the author gets like maybe 10 cents. So it's much more financially sound for the physical copies to go through juliecarrick.com and the ebooks through Amazon. So,
okay. All right. And I'll be putting links to all this down in the show notes below.
Thank you.
Folks. Wow. I mean, Julie Carrick has lived a life that's totally dedicated to sharing the love of God and faith in Jesus. And just look at the doors that the Lord opened for her to use the gifts God gave her to use. Amen. But as you heard, and as we covered in the last episode, life's not always sunshine and roses when you're a Christian. But her book, Unfailing Grace, will just give you true life examples of how God can work in mysterious ways whenever you find yourself going through things that have you looking at giving up on him, because God will always find a way. Amen. And I urge you to reach out to Julie, just email her, visit her website, order a book. In fact, order two or three copies. Praise the Lord. I know you know someone or possibly two or three others that can use this type of inspiration. Be that person that God sends to them in their time of need to give them a word of encouragement and sow this book into their life. Go down to the show notes, get in touch with Julie. Be sure to order her new book, Unfailing Grace, and order it right now while you're thinking about it. Just click the link down below and order the book today. Amen. Julie, thank you so much for coming back on the program today. I do appreciate your time.
Thank you. I appreciate you and your incredibly beautiful ministry. It's awesome.
Amen. Folks, once again, we are all out of time. With Julie Carrick and myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.